Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of Coffee and Benefits with Ayub and Redbeard. How you doing this evening, not?
I'm doing well. How's the sound? Can you hear me?
Nah, you sound okay.
Okay, mashallah, because I'm currently, man, going to get the Zalja, the beautiful wife, man. I'm doing wonderful, man. I miss my wife, man.
Yeah, that's good to hear, man. I just finished having dinner. I had a light one, fried chicken and waffles.
What do you use, light, sir?
Bro. You know I go all in, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and now I'm sitting down having me a cup of coffee. I was in Target with my wife, man. She drugged me in Target. And, yeah, let me tell you, it was a sad affair, bro. But anyway, I seen that creamer that you had mentioned in the last episode, the mocha peppermint.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know they had the all those Christmas clearances and everything like that. So they had one for like a dollar or something, so I went and scooped it up.
Right.
I like it, though.
It's not bad.
Nah, the peppermint doesn't overpower the coffee. If you don't put too much, sugar along with it, then that peppermint has a real nice blend. So I like it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why I spoke so well of it, because I've been running from that creamer for years, but I was in one of the low-end supermarkets and I needed to get creamer. And
yeah.
I can't stomach that non-name brand creamer like that. That it doesn't do it, taste-wise or the consistency of it. So it was on sale. They had it. I grabbed it and I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Why you driving, man? Some of them quote unquote low ends, man, be the better, man. But let me tell you, man, some stuff you just got to stick with the name brands, B. I'm telling you, you just got to stick with the name brands.
Right, right.
Tonight, I told you I had the chicken and waffles. And so normally, I get like the Eggo brand or something like that. Right. One of them brands that my wife bought. Told you she's a household technician. So she normally just go in the grocery store and pick up what you pick up.
Right.
So I go in there and call myself being frugal and buy some cheap waffles, man. Yeah. Wasn't.
Alhamdulillah, man. But you know, Allah really has blessed the women to possess a certain ability that as men, we don't really have it.
No.
Like some things.
And I just had to really just suck it up and learn that thing. So that's why, like, with a lot of affairs, man, I just defer those to my old lady, man. She knows what to do in that market, man.
Nah, it's the small, simple things that just make life so much easier, man.
Yeah, without a question.
You know, man.
So to this episode, I want to ask you a question.
Shoot.
So, have you ever had beard envy? Like, you've seen a guy and his beard is just like nice and groomed, and the length that you wish your beard would get to, and you just look at him like, yo, dude really got a nice beard, yo.
Yeah, I have, but you know, I got a saving grace because of the coloration that Allah, you know, chose to bless me with. So I always had a fallback, like the little nanny boo boo. Yeah, he got a big beard, but his beard ain't red, burgundy, or whatever color it decided to be. But I'm gonna tell you something, not and. And I don't know how Allah just blessed me to have this little insight, because you know my hairline shot too.
Yeah.
But it's a blessing in that, huh? Because do you know how vain I would probably be if I had all my hair? I had a big flowing beard. I would have a lot of hair. You wouldn't be able to tell me nothing.
No, see me, you know, my beard ain't as long as it is as I want it to be, man. Like, I'm like one of them guys that had to go to the gym and work out, right? So right. I had to fight for all the lift that I got with my beard, man. And you know they got all of these beard care products out now that cater to us bearded men and stuff like that. So, you know, I took it upon myself, man, to indulge in that arena. And you know, my wife, she often jokes on me, man, because I take this beer stuff seriously, man.
Right. Okay.
Every Sunday I do the deep condition on the beard, right? I got me a little one of them little beard covers. I really just stole it from her. Like, she got like,
wait, oh what? Know, nah, I don't know. What?
So Pete, you know how they have the little shower caps, right?
Right.
So what my wife does is she just buys a pack of them that might come with like 4 or 6 different shower caps, right? So I just take one of hers, and when I'm doing the deep condition on the beard, I got the leave-in conditioner in and everything like that.
Right.
I take one of the beard, where one of her shower caps, and just kind of like hook it over the ears and tuck the beard in, you know, let it catch some heat and the conditioning. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And so, boom. I let that sit in there for about 45 minutes or not, and then I'll go and wash it out, man. But, you know, she seems to see it as a knock on my manhood or whatnot. But
I'm going to tell you something now. One thing. Because I've been looking at a lot of little videos about health and fitness and diet and nutrition,
right,
where a lot of times we'll look at an issue and think it's a surface issue. So we'll get surface products, medicine, or things of this nature to take care of, you know, normally with skin issues, where right, a lot of times stuff be going on where it be dietary and a lack of nutrition based on the genetics that Allah gave us.
Right. So another thing, because just like I told you, like, you know, I take this beer stuff seriously, right? And so I also do a lot of research into it and looking into it. I follow a couple guys on YouTube that do a lot about the beer. And that's one of the things that they also talk about, man. Like, to have healthy hair, you know, you got to actually have a healthy body as well, man.
Right.
And so, like, you know, drinking a lot of water and taking certain vitamins and stuff like that.
Right. It's almost like trying to grow a beautiful rose bush with bad soil.
Right.
You know. And another thing is too, I mean, I'm thoroughly convinced that most of them products, all of them, oh, your beard going to grow, the man, they lying.
Yeah.
Just like you, I be into all different types of cosmetics and toiletries, and I'm telling you, anywhere I go, if I don't go nowhere, I'ma go to the section with the body washes, the different shea butters, the different creases, I'ma go through all that.
And speaking of which, right, I got a bunch of products sitting right here now that I was gonna tell you about, man. And the only downside that I see from these products is, yeah, see you out there in the city. But the only downside that I see to a lot of these products, man, is that they're priced high, right?
Right.
So you might get a 4-ounce bottle of beard oil, and that's running you $14. So right now, I got maybe 12 different beard products sitting right here.
Right.
And so right now, the one that I'm liking most is this Cremo brand. And I told you, I left it up to the household technician, right? And she came through for me. Because these products that I got right now, this beard and scruff softener, right? Mm-hmm. $10 a piece, right? Mm-hmm. For a 4 ounce bottle. A 4 ounce bottle of beard softener. And then they have like a condition, and then they have a beard wash. Each of them would have cost around about $9 a piece. And so she went up in Walmart during that little clearance sale, and she grabbed me a kit, and she put me on a glitch for $3 and some change. So came through. But one of the things I like about it is that. Well, I'm going to compare it, all right? So I got this Cremo brand, and then I got this Memphis Reserve. This Memphis Reserve got a beard oil, and it's real liquidy, man. It leaves your beard all greasy and shiny. Nah. It leaves it greasy and shiny, right? It gives you the illusion that your beard is going to be, like, nice and conditioned.
Yeah.
Wow, it'll leave your beard dry. Like, even when you go to comb it, your beard will still be tangled or whatnot. And so I kind of left that on the shelf. But it's more like you know that pink lotion?
Yeah.
It's kind of that
consistency.
Mm-hmm. But it has a real nice smell to it, man. Got that coconut oil in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of has like this minty smell to it, man. But leave
tell
beard.
You,
go ahead.
A couple of things I use. Jojoba oil is good for your hair. I think it's merengue or something like that.
Right.
Oil is good for your hair, and tea tree oil is good for your hair. Even though it is real tea tree, that real stuff, it smells. It's really strong.
Right.
And it has like a real medicinal smell. It's not like really a pleasant smell.
No, and that's the actual scent that I'm talking about, that tea tree oil. And this Cremo brand, that beard softener has that in there, that tea tree oil. And it kind of leaves a tingling sensation when you put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
But for the most part, I use a tea tree oil. I don't use it daily, but the two things I really use daily is Jamaican black castor oil and just regular shea butter.
See, that's the cheat code, right? Because my wife has all of that stuff right in the bathroom, right? And so I don't get to use. Listen, she got this stuff called wild growth oil, right?
Uh-huh.
So this is to help your hair grow, right? It advertises like it'll help you grow maybe an inch plus per month or something like this.
Right.
And I was using it on my beard, and that wild part of it, that wild growth oil, man, that thing had my beard growing all out of proportion, man. But my wife, she gets upset with me because I'll use all her stuff. So,
right.
So I had to just go ahead and invest in my own stuff. And when she ain't looking, you know, I use her stuff on the low. So that black castor oil, you know, I still use some of that as well. But that's the real deal, though, man, because, like, those conditioners and stuff that she has, they have a real positive effect when I've been using those, too. So even though we try to have something for men with regards to grooming and stuff like that, man, the lady stuff worked real good too.
I
still use just olive oil and stuff like that.
I mean, olive oil is good. Avocado oil is good, man. I'm talking about a really good hair product is going to have several different combination of oils or vitamins inserted. So, yeah, man, I just stick with the basics, man, because I know it's never gonna be kind of like like that whole magical, oh yeah, if you just do this for this long, then your beard is just gonna be full, and then they be having like the before and the after, and I don't even buy into that hype no more, man, because I feel like they just lying and just trying to get over, because they know for the most part African Americans, our beards doesn't always grow in full. And another thing issue is we get a lot of split ends and breakage.
Right. And so that's a like a rock and a hard place when it comes to us, because a lot of us are real serious with regards to not touching their beard. You know what I'm saying? And so when in terms of grooming it, especially with split ends and stuff like that, why, you know, cutting those split ends, then it helps with the growth. But
yeah,
again, like I say, it's a rock and a hard place. Lots of times with us, because you know, when I go to the barber shop, that's what I tell the guy. Don't touch it. And then they be going to do the lineup and you gotta like jump out of the way and everything. Like, look, bro, I said don't touch it. I mean, don't touch it. And so
yeah.
Man, but a lot of that stuff is important when it comes to growth. And
yeah,
I've been using these products with regards to growth areas, and there hasn't been any real length, you know what I'm saying, outside of what it would actually go. Let's start off with mentioning some of the things or some of the books that you and I are currently reading. So I'll go with you first.
I'm still on the Lato Lusso. I have my mind set on memorizing it, so I'm giving preference to that. And the other book that I'm going over is The Conditions and the Meaning and Another Fires of the Shahada. I'm going over that with my wife.
Who's the author of that last one?
Sheikh Badr, maybe? Sheikh Abdul Razak Al Badr, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah.
No, man, it's a really good book, because it goes into the meaning of the Shahada. Then it goes into all that it entails. It goes into the linguistic definition of it. It goes into the affirmations and the negations. And then it goes into the conditions, and it just goes step by step and just really break it down. So really, it's probably one of the best small, concise books on that particular topic. That is really nice.
Now he's one of my favorite. I have his book on where he does the explanation of the dua of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi sallam. The name of it escapes me right now. But I love the sheikh. I love his books. He's, to me, and his writing style is similar to Ibn Qayyim, man. I love that sheikh.
Nah. You know what I was looking for, just to digress for a minute? I was looking for this line of poetry that Ibn al-Qayyum often used, where he quotes, many people claims to love Al-Layl, but Layl knows none of them. And it's worded differently in English. But I'm trying to find that particular quote, especially in the Arabic, but I cannot find it, and I've read it in so many different books, but I cannot go directly to it.
Yeah, I'll find it and I'll send it to you. Yeah, because I'm familiar with the that line that you use. But I love Ibn Qayyim too, man. He's real poetic in a lot of his writings, man. And the moniker that he has, the Doctor of the Heart, man, it suits him well, man, because I've read plenty of his books, man. And this is the thing with me with regards to books, man. Like, a lot of people, you know, they like to buy just different kind of books and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But with regards to myself, I look at like where I came from and what I used to be a punk.
Right.
And I try to buy those books, man, that I think that'll have the optimal effect on me. Right.
Yeah.
And so like books by Ibn Qayyim, where he has his The Keys to Happiness, for example.
Right.
With the explanation by Sheikh Muhammad Ayman al-Jami.
Yeah.
Allah. It's an excellent book.
That's a heavy one.
Nah. And Ibn Qayyim has that one where Sheikh Abdul Razak Musan al-Abad, he did the explanation how to stay away from sins.
Right.
I believe that's the name of it. Books like that, they have the most effect on me. And
another,
like you said, they're small and they are full of benefits, man. And when you sit back and you reflect upon what those authors brought, it does have a positive effect upon you.
I'm going to tell you, another author who's in that same vein is Ibn Rajab.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite books is Alleviating the Grievances of the Strangers. And to this day, I think that might be my favorite hadith, that Islam began as something strange.
He has an explanation of Nawawi's 40 hadith as well. They have it in English, man. It's a real big book. And I think they phrased it Compendium of Knowledge. It's a real big book by Ibn Rajab, where he explains Nabawi's 40 hadith. And I think he adds an additional 10 hadith to it. And that's a great book, man.
Yeah.
It's a great book, man.
Awesome.
By Ibn Rajab, Rahimullah. But with regards to some of the books that I'm currently studying. I have the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah.
I have so many Kitab al-Tawheeds. I mean, just different explanations of it.
I don't mean to cut you off, but it's... I'll tell you a good thing why it's good to have that. And just in the last class that I went over, where Sheikh Uthaymeen, in his Muqaddima of it, he's bringing speech on the three forms of Tawheed.
Uh-huh.
When he goes into the Uluhiyya, he gives the definition of Uluhiyya.
Right.
And then he breaks down how that the rububiyyah is to single out Allah along with his you're singing out Allah in his actions.
Right.
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 With the rububiyyah.
Mm-hmm.
So the brother who's explaining the class, he brings some statements from Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh Allah. His Tamheed, which is an explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. And he brings the point that Uluhiyya is the single now Allah with the slave's actions. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So by doing these acts of worship, you're singing out Allah through your actions.
Right.
Right? And so by having those two different explanations, you get two different points, right? And when the brother said that, I was like, as many times as we've gone over Tawheed throughout the years and these different books, like no one has ever pointed that out.
SubhanAllah. Right?
Nah, man, so that was beneficial, and it's very beneficial to have different explanations, man.
Nah, and perhaps my favorite explanation is Fathul Majid.
Is by who?
Fathul Majid.
Yeah, nah.
Oh, that
nah. I like Fathul Majid too.
It go
that was one of the second or third Arabic books that I got, man.
Yeah, it was me and a brother named Sunni, and he was really good with the Arabic, and I was sitting there with my Hans Weir, and and listen, it took me probably a month to break down, just to totally translate like one chapter. I think I did 2.5 altogether. I think the first one I did was Feeling Safe and Secure from the Plan of Allah, and the other one was on Tawakkul. I was size up. And he just be sitting there smiling at me, laughing like, you got it right. But the way that it's used, you got to understand the expression. So sometimes the Arabic is literal. Sometimes it's not literal. And you got to go to this to understand how this particular word or this phrase is used, because it's not literally that. But and when I did it, I was so that probably was one of the
minds. Yeah, that brings back memories too, man. I remember when I was in Hazleton, I used to hang out with this brother named Lukman, and like the brother you mentioned, he was real good with the Arabic, man, and he was the one who encouraged me to just like stop buying English books and to buy the Arabic books, and he gave me a copy of Umdatul Aqlam with the explanation by Sheikh Abdullah Bassam. And in there, it was one of the hadith that I had translated up. And yo, I got it absolutely right. Like this one hadith, man. And you should have seen me running around the pound with the book, man. And I'm discussing it open. And I'm like, yo, listen, right here, the hadith says this, and then the sheikh says that. Yo, you couldn't have told me nothing, man.
Hey, I listen, when I did that one little chapter, I would go on a basketball court and had the little book with my little notebook papers with the little translations, talking about something. I would go to the library after, and I would da-da-da-da-da. So it was such an elation to be able to do that, and that just goes to show how miskin we are when we don't really invest in a language, because that language take your understanding to a completely different level, and you really understand how little we really getting from the religion and from the scholars, man.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that, man. And there's another book that I'm studying, by Sheikh Uthaymeen, Qawaid al-Muthalla, on the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going over that. I don't know if you hit with the brothers, they in Toronto, Masjid al-Muk. What is it, Masjid Imam Mukbil? You familiar with them?
I believe so. What's his name?
The brother that's the imam there is his name is Abu Fajr, I believe.
I think I have come across that name in passing.
Now they most of the brothers that I come across on that channel, they studied in the Maj, and they hold very beneficial classes, man, and they're covering those books, man. And so I sit down and I do classes with them brothers, and it's very beneficial, man. Very, very, very beneficial, man. And like I mentioned to one of the brothers that I'm in a group with on Twitter, that, you know, from the brothers that come from the Maj, study down there, like their level of understanding. And you remember the saying, man, you can tell a person's level of understanding based upon their explanation of it. Like if you understand something properly, then you're able to explain it. And the way that they explain these books and they simplify them shows the level of understanding that they gain from the Mashiach of Yemen. And so this is just my assessment of it, you know. Right. And that's not a knock to any of the brothers who studied elsewhere. But to me, the brothers that study down there in Yemen, you know, they have a one-up on me, man.
Yeah. I know a brother who actually was over there when Sheikh Mukbil was alive, Rahimahullah. And, man, he said, man, that they was getting it in. And,
yeah.
And he was there with a lot of the Da'is that's, you know, that's currently on the scene. He was right over there with them. And he will all, he, I mean, that's a kalam that we could have in private. But one of the things he said, that even Sheikh Mukbil, his bodyguard, the muscle, memorized all of Balugh Al-Maram.
No.
He the muscle, and then he was the student. He was the muscle, and he had that. He memorized it.
So, one other book, man, that I have in my library, man, that I find is an absolute gem. I have an explanation of the statement of Ibn Sirin. Mm-hmm. Verily, this knowledge is deen. So be careful who you take your deen from. And that's by Sheikh Ahmed Bazmoul.
Yeah.
And that's a gem, brother. I bought that book maybe in 2014.
Nah.
Often go to, man. One thing I love about this book the most, man, is it just has so many statements from the people of knowledge, past and present.
Right.
Right. And one thing that I see too is that the Sheikh, he quotes Sheikh Fauzan a lot throughout his book, man.
Yeah.
And that just shows me like the level that the people have for the Sheikh.
Right.
And he's current, you know what I mean? He isn't one of the imams who's passed away. You know, he's current, still breathing. May Allah give him a long life.
I mean.
And so he's one of my favorite authors as well, Sheikh Al-Fawzan. I have plenty of books by him. Like between him and Sheikh Uthaymeen, they're my two go-tos, man. I have more books by them than anybody else.
Yeah, Fauzan. Yeah, and you mentioned one. You mentioned Sheikh Uthaymeen. On him is he's really concise with the technical aspect. Like I love his explanation of certain terminology and his definition. Like his Dalalatul Usul. Maybe one of the best.
I like Sheikh Ubaid's explanation of Usul Thalath. The one that they have in English, I haven't read the Arabic one, but the one they have in the English, the flow of it is real nice. And maybe that's because they did it from they transcribed it. So it was an actual class, right?
Right.
And so the flow of the book and a lot of the benefits that the Sheikh brings in there, man. I like that explanation as well. You know, Sheikh Uthaymeen's one is classic. Remember back in the day, right, you would have that book, man. People would base your Salafia off that book, man. If a person had that book, you already looked at him like, oh, bro, Ox Salafi right there. He could have been a pure Sufi, man, that was just reading that book or whatnot.
Nah. But,
that's how classic that book is, man. Damn, I love his explanation of it, man.
Yeah. Definitely outstanding. You know, I want to go back for a minute to digress yet again. How you talked about how your Zao Jazz a house technician.
Nah.
And it's like we're the everything outside the outside the house, man, because I'm coming to pick my wife up, and I tell her to meet me in front of the Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where she's at?
Inside the Starbucks.
Not in front of the Starbucks. So,
yeah, man. Well, inshallah, we can go ahead and wrap this episode up, man. So you can go ahead and attend to your affairs. Now, as always, Hawk, it was beneficial, man, and lovely speaking with you, man. So until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.